My name is Vicente Luque, and you're listening to MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, welcome back, knuckleheads, to the 46th episode of MMA Wreckage Radio. Like I've been telling you guys for the past couple weeks, the name is going to change here very soon, but everything else will stay the same. On this week's episode, we have a contestant from this week's in UFC Fight Night 162. That is Jeff Hughes. He is going to be fighting in the heavyweight division on the prelims, and he's going to be taking on Rafael Paseo. That is going to be an intriguing matchup. The last time Jeff Hughes was in the UFC octagon was up against Todd Duffy, and that ended in a no contest because of an eye poke. Now, Wally Wall, as always, is here with me. How was your experience with UFC on ESPN 6, Reyes versus Weidman? What did you think about the whole thing? The card in a whole, would you say it was a success? Would you say it was on the lower end of what we've been receiving lately? Tell me your thoughts.
Oh, I think that we had everything. We had a great fight. We had a no contest. We had a what the fuck moment. We had the legend winning. We have like a real prospect winning with tremendous fashion. We had everything in this card.
No doubt. I want to get into this one moment about this card in brief detail before we get into crazy detail about it. The whole inhaler situation with Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you've seen the replays or not, but he looks at the Boston, Massachusetts State Athletic Commission and asks him, can I use my inhaler right now? And in reply, he asked, is it medical? He says, yes, it's USADA approved. He said, go ahead and use it. How is that Hardy's fault? How can you really blame that on Greg Hardy when the man who is supposed to be in charge from the athletic commission standing in his corner told him it was okay to use it?
I don't know. I think the first thing is, who did he talk to before and told him like it's legal? I want to know who's that guy first. Like, who is the USADA approved guy?
I want to know his name. And I really think we need to look at his credentials.
Yeah.
And this is just from a guy looking on the outside, looking in. I've never trained martial arts. I've constantly said that on this show multiple times. I've never trained. I've never fought in a fight professionally or amateur. I'm just on the outside looking in. If you have somebody who has a credential of saying, I'm the one who has the decision making.
Yeah,
I make the decision. At the end of the day, they come to me. If they ask me, if I say yes, that means yes. If I say no, that means no. Greg Hardy asked that officiate. There's multiple USADA approved men. Massachusetts State Athletic Commission people there. There's multiple there. They should all know their shit. They shouldn't have their little T-shirt on that says Massachusetts State Athletic Commission unless they know their shit. The guy asked one of the officials, can I use it? The guy said yes.
But he asked it. He asked him, are you talking when he asked during the fight, like between the rounds?
During the fight, yes.
I'm not talking about that because during the fight, like, it's tough for a guy to say no or yes, you know. I'm not defending the guy, but I know it's kind of a weird thing, but I want to blame Greg Hardy on something. Like, in this day and age, like, can't you not tweet about it, like, before, so everybody knows?
Well, if you followed his NFL career at all, and I know in Europe, you guys don't really follow American football a whole lot, but he's been very outspoken about using his inhaler. He uses inhaler on the field. He's taking breathing treatments on the sideline in the middle of NFL games. So for American fans to, in my way, look ignorant at the situation, especially if you're a football fan, especially if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan or a Carolina Panthers fan, you should know that Greg Hardy has this. I'm a Vikings fan. I watch a lot of football, though. So I know that Greg Hardy has used his inhaler throughout his NFL career. He probably took it in between him fighting with his old lady.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Maybe. Maybe she had it from him, and that's why he got pissed.
But, I mean, it is what it is. I think he's going to get a chance to really prove what he's worth.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Because he's getting a shot at Volkov in Moscow. JDS got pulled from the fight. JDS had a huge staph infection in his knee. Big ol' hole. It was a nasty thing. I seen a picture of it, and I was like, ooh, man, I'll never want to deal with staph in my entire life. He is out of that fight with Volkov, out of the main event. That fight is now moved to the co-main event. It is Greg Hardy versus Alexander Volkov. Zabit Magomed Sharipov and Calvin Kattar are the main event for UFC Moscow. But in other big news, possibly the biggest news of the day, the baddest motherfucker bout is in serious jeopardy at this moment. And I wish I was joking when I was saying this to you guys. I wish it was a ha-ha, April Fools, I'm just fucking around. But unfortunately, they're saying that Nate Diaz tested positive for some type of tainted supplement. That's what they're calling it.
Yeah.
And Nate straight came out and said, listen, I don't even eat meat. Everything I eat is from Whole Foods. There's no way. Like, fuck you guys. This is bullshit. There's no fucking way in the world.
Yeah.
Jorge Masvidal came out and said, I don't give a fuck about what Usada says. This is for the baddest motherfucker on the planet. Be there and I'll be there.
Yeah, but it's not like that. You know, this is not, you know, street fighting.
Listen, I just want to throw this one out there. If they fight in the streets, do you think the UFC puts the cameras on it?
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But listen, that's not the point. The point is he got
the most unprecedented shit in the world. That would be some like earth changing shit. Imagine if that actually fucking happened.
He got tested positive, brother. No, he got tested positive for something.
Yeah, something.
I'm not saying they
haven't said what it was.
And I'm not saying he took it on purpose. Yeah.
But it is what it is. He did test positive. The bout between him and Jorge Masvidal for the baddest motherfucker in the planet is in serious, serious jeopardy. In other very big MMA news today, the notorious one came out of hiding straight out of left field and had a press conference. Apparently, he has stated that not only is the UFC going to have a massive pay-per-view in December in Las Vegas, they also plan on coming right back in January on the 18th, and Conor McGregor is going to be returning to the UFC at T-Mobile Arena to an opponent yet to be named. There's a couple of names out there. One that I think, because he's already tweeted about it himself, Mr. Donald Cowboy Cerrone. From what Conor laid out after the Cowboy Cerrone fight, he is supposed to fight the winner of the BMF title, I'm guessing somewhere in July, International Fight Week, somewhere around then.
Yeah.
And then you'll get the rematch. From what Conor's saying, if everything goes to plan, the rematch will be in Moscow against Khabib Nurmagomedov sometime later at the end of the next year.
Yeah, I like the plans. But
can
I'm not
the man do it? That's the question.
Listen, when it comes to, you know, does he have the talent to do it? For sure he can do it, but, you know, he's not fighting.
Did you watch Kamaru the press cans. Conference?
Yeah, I watched some clips of it. I didn't watch it as
at
all.
Did he not seem a lot more determined, a lot more focused, like a different Conor? It wasn't the Conor that we got at all leading up to even Eddie. It was more like the Conor that we seen on the pursuit to the featherweight title.
Yes, but You know how Connor is. He can sell sand to an Arab, you know? Like, can you really believe what he's saying? Like, the man is crazy. I'm a huge fan of Conor McGregor, but I know that half of the things he said are full of shit. At this point, he retired 5 times. He fought against Nate Diaz and Gaethje and Cowboy in the same night. Like, how many things that he needs to tell us before we start really thinking that is he lying or not?
Well, Dana has confirmed the January bout. He has confirmed that they're talking T-Mobile Arena. I'm guessing because that was the easiest arena for them to pick up the phone and say, "Hey, listen,
Yeah.
we want to make an event. Here's what we're looking at this month. Can you work with us?" And
Yeah.
they come up with that, which works perfectly, by the way, because I want to point out that Bellator is going to be taking Chris Cyborg's debut. I believe it's the 25th, so it's the following Saturday. So they worked out perfectly where the UFC is the week before, and then Bellator, Julia Budd versus Chris Cyborg is the following week. That's also the same week Darian Caldwell is going to be taking on Adam Borsch.
Okay, so that's good. So this all work out perfectly
Exactly.
for now, because like for the Masvidal against Nate Diaz, the only thing maybe I didn't think about is someone getting tested positive, and it happened.
Let me
I
ask
think.
you a question. What else is on that card with Connor? Do you need to put another title fight on there? Do you just let him sell it himself? Or do you add a Henry Cejudo? Do you add a Joseph Benavidez? Someone who you know maybe isn't the biggest draw, but
Yeah.
you can pair with Connor and get more eyes on him and possibly make him a bigger draw in the future.
Oh, I don't know. Does Henry accept the fact to be in the co-main event and not be the main event?
100%.
Oh, so
I
okay.
think anybody at this point would co-main event for Connor.
Okay, so yeah, I don't
I
see the
mean, come
problem
on.
there.
Tony Ferguson took the third fight on the main event or on the main card.
This wasn't
And
the
this was
same.
October.
I don't know,
We're
but
talking about a high-profile guy taking a third fight on a main card. We're talking about a champion taking a co-main event. We have a double
yeah.
champ right now who's going to be fighting in December who's not even the main event.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you know, he's not fighting in the main event because the main event is a fight for the belt, right?
Well, all of them are fights for the belt, and the main
Yeah.
event in December is the people's main event. It is the MMA Wreckage Radio main event.
Yeah.
It is the greatest welterweight champion that we have ever seen.
In Colby Covington?
Kamaru Usman taking on that filthy animal, Colby Covington.
Why are you calling him an animal? He's a beast. That's a great fight.
I can't wait, man.
I can't wait, brother.
I was talking to Landon Quinones about that fight, and from what he's saying, man, your boy Colby better be ready. But we won't get into too much detail about that.
All
Listen,
right.
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're going to throw you to a quick station identification, and then Wally Wall is going to be back, and then we are going to break, or sorry, we're going to recap UFC on ESPN 6, Reyes versus Weidman. Then we're going to have the Jeff Hughes interview, and then we're going to preview UFC Fight Night 162, Askren versus Mayra, the greatest striking matchup we never knew we needed. But
Yeah.
until then, a quick station identification. And as always, you guys are listening to MMA Wreckage Radio.
This is Casey Kinney, and you're listening to MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys. Over this past weekend, we had an amazing card, UFC on ESPN 6. That was from Boston, Massachusetts. The main event showed Dominic Reyes asserting his dominance in the light heavyweight division and welcoming former middleweight champion with a cold hard knockout. Chris Weidman goes down very, very, very nasty and very early in the first round. We will get into that fight a lot later, but we're going to go down at the very beginning. And Tanner Boser, former MMA Wreckage Radio alum, went in there and just asserted his dominance against Daniel Spitz. Completely one-sided performance, 30-27. I feel like I say that a lot. I listened to my last couple episodes, and I say it's completely one-sided performance a lot. I'm going to try not to say that so fucking much, but it's not my fault. It just happens sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that, and this one was a one-sided victory. I'm sorry, but it was a clear unanimous decision. How can you say that, like, in other words?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, and Tanner really asserted his game plan and just his whole dominance over Daniel the entire three rounds, and I really expect big things from Tanner. He's fought all over the world. He had zero octagon jitters. It kind of just felt like he was like a bull and they were just waiting to let go. You know what I mean? He was ready to go.
Yeah. That's always like a fight like that in the, you know, to be the first fight in the card. I either like a good like decision win or a, you know, a clear knockout in the first round.
For sure. Listen, if that one didn't start the fight off, or the card off, and this next one did, I would not have been mad. Brendan Allen versus Kevin Holland was probably one of the better fights I've seen this year. If Yair and Jeremy Stevenson wasn't so good, that one would have easily been fight of the night. I'm very surprised that Brendan Allen did not get a submission bonus, but I mean, once you look at what the other couple people did, you completely understand why he didn't get one. But Brendan Allen, really, he's something to really handle in that middleweight division. I feel like between like those guys who were like 20 and 25, really need to watch out for Brendan Allen. And then he's already talked about wanting Eric Anders. That's an interesting matchup. Eric's down for it. I talked to Eric already about it. He said he'll run it with anybody. He said he don't give a damn, anytime, any place, anyone, anywhere, anywho.
Yeah, there's definitely a place for him in this division, I think, you know, but with a performance like that, you know, you can do nothing but notify him and say that, yeah, that's a great performance and a great submission against a guy like Kevin Holland, and we know how dangerous Kevin Holland is.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, so that was a good win for him, and I agree with you. I think that maybe he deserved a bonus for this submission.
Now, Sean Brady defeated Court McGee by unanimous decision, 29-28, 30-27, and 30-27. I don't know about that judge that gave it 29-28. I have to agree with those judges that gave it 30-27. Maybe they just had a thing for Court McGee. I really thought it was a one-sided performance for Sean Brady. He asserted his wrestling. He was able to take more Court McGee down at will and just apply his pressure on him when he needed to.
Yeah, I think that his game plan really worked. He put a lot of pressure on Court McGee, and a one-sided victory, like you said.
No, for sure. I don't understand how they got 29-28 out of that, but I mean,
yeah, as long as he got the W.
Apparently, like, they got some good shit over there in Massachusetts.
No, maybe he got the unanimous decision. So at the end of the day, as long as he won,
it's a win's a win, right?
Yeah, a win's a win.
In the bantamweight division, Randy Costa, another man that really just asserted his dominance, defeated Boston Salmon by TKO punches, 2 minutes and 15 seconds into the first round. Now, Randy Costa with that performance, I mean, that one right there should have won the performance bonus. Brendan Allen didn't win the performance bonus. So just imagine those two amazing performances.
Yeah.
Plus two more that we had didn't win. Just imagine what actually won.
I think that the level in this card like was really high. I think all the fights were great. It's rare sometimes to have all the
cards. You could have put any title on top of this card. Yeah. And it could have been a pay-per-view. Easily.
Like, you like to have fighters like Brendan Allen, you know, and Sean Brady in the prelims. Like, it's kind of crazy. It's good. Like, I don't know, maybe they are not like main card fighters right now, but they have the potential to be main.
Name is right this second, but they're on ESPN. They're getting the exposure. They're doing big things with the opportunities. And the sky is the limit.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and you know, it's good to be in the prelims like that, with, you know, with all the fights we had and the type of fights we had in this prelim. Like, I think it's good to be there and you get the W. Good for your career.
In the next fight, ooh, messed that one up. Sorry about that one, guys. Meatball Molly McCann. Sean Woodson defeated Kyle Bosniak by unanimous decision. 30-26, 30-27, 30-27. The judges gave it all to Sean the entire time, the entire fight. For all 15 minutes, he just put on a one-sided performance.
Yeah. Even having maybe a 10-8 round.
Well, no, for sure. I mean, the only more dominant performance was Molly Meatball McCann when she defeated Diana Belbita. It was 30-26 across the board. But those two dominant decision victories, we had a very quick submission victory at the prelims main event. It was a catchweight bout between 148 pounds between Charles Rosa and Manny Bermudez. Manny Bermudez was the one who was unable to make 145 pounds. That is interesting because Manny previously fought at 135 pounds. So moving up 10 pounds and even having Manny on the show, he talked about, you know, this was something that he didn't have to worry about. He didn't have to worry about the weight and he was happy about that. But he still came in overweight. 3 pounds at this point. And it was something that you and I even talked about. I was just confused as all hell as how he missed weight. But it is what it is. He got submitted very quickly with a very nice armbar by Charles Rosa. 2 minutes and 46 seconds into the first round. And that won Charles Rosa a performance bonus. That was in the prelims main event. So the main card is what we have left in the catchweight, about 188.5 pounds. And this was Darion Wynn, who was overweight. Darian Stewart defeated Darion Wynn by split decision. You notice both the guys who missed weight, who came in unprepared and unprofessional, lost their bouts. I'm just pointing that out.
I think the majority of the time it happens like that, right?
No, actually. A lot of the time it happens the other way around.
I don't know. Like, the one that come up to my mind, like these two, the Showtime Pettis against Max Holloway, you know? I know the Mackenzie Dern, like, she won, but sometimes, I don't know. I need to go to see back the stats, but maybe you're right, maybe I'm right, but for sometimes it's good, you know, to see, you know, the one who wasn't really professional. I'm not saying they're not professional. Maybe they had problems or something like that. Getting the loss, sometimes it's good.
No, for sure, 100%. Now, the thing that I was probably the most impressive this weekend was Macy Barber's performance against Jillian Robertson. Jillian Robertson, we're big fans of her on this show. But she unfortunately was outmatched by Macy Barber. She was taken out 3 minutes and 4 seconds into the first round. And Macy Barber really just asserted her dominance throughout the entire fight. She really showed that she was the bigger fighter. She had the pressure that Jillian just could not keep up with. And not only did she have the pressure, she had the speed and the power to just take Jillian out of the fight. It only took 3 minutes. Macy Barber has looked unstoppable since pretty much starting her career. And at this rate, I think she's got about 800 days left until she has to beat Mr. John Jones's record. And that's about 2.5 years. So, I mean, I think she's going to make pretty good timing. And I think one day she might be able to beat Valentina Shevchenko.
Oh, we will see about that. I think it's too early to say that because, Jillian Robertson is a great fighter and such. But so I think maybe the gap between, you know, the contenders and the champion Valentina is huge, I think, because Valentina is a straight killer. And, you know, it was a great performance by Macy Barber. And I don't know if you... but the whole drama started between her and Paige VanZant again, because she won that fight. She wanted to get paid, and the agent of Paige VanZant said that she doesn't want to fight Macy Barber, or because Macy Barber didn't respect her or something like that. I don't get really what's going on, but Macy Barber put on a video on Instagram and said, like, it's not about respect. You're an easy fight and I want to get paid, and that's it. And
I think Paige knows what will happen. I think you see Paige VanZant in one FC before you see her fight Macy Barber.
Oh, maybe not. Listen, maybe Paige VanZant took a huge step back in her MMA career by, you know, doing other stuff. But when it comes to do she really want to fight people? I think, yeah. I think she's a straight up killer, because remember, she fought with a broken arm. She accepted, you know, difficult fights. She didn't tap out against Michelle Waterson. She preferred to go, you know, to blackout. She's not a pussy. She's a great fighter. So I won't be mad to see her fight against Mercy Barber.
I think Macy runs to her, but that'll be a sight for
sore eyes. Yeah, I agree with you. I think Macy won't win, but, you know, it's a good fight.
No, for sure. In the lightweight division, Joe Loizon defeated Jonathan Pierce, and I'm going to eat my words now. Yes, Joe Loizon won. As soon as he won, I hit up Waleed, and I was like, listen, I was wrong. You were right.
Yeah.
Go fuck myself. Joe Loizon won by TKO punches, 1 minute and 33 seconds into the first round, and it was beautiful. It looked like I was fighting my son. Like, the way he had it, he, like, just had the dude's other hand, and he was just smacking the shit out of him. It literally looked like it was a grown man fighting a little boy, and the little boy had no idea how the hell to get out of it.
Yeah, it was a great performance. I'm always happy to see, you know, those legends, I would say, of the sport that didn't have, you know, the opportunity or, you know, the luck to win a title at some point. But having them winning like that in this fashion, because everybody buried him, said that, you know, it's over. People said it's going to be his last fight. Getting a big win like that is always good. And, you know, I'm really happy for him. He's a great guy.
He was saying that his coaches were hoping that it took a little longer and that he took a little more damage, because they were hoping that he wouldn't want to get the bug to get back in there and fight. But they knew that after it happened under a minute and 30 seconds, that for sure that he was going to want to get back in there right away and fight again.
Oh, for sure. I think that, you know, he really loved the sport. It would be tough for him to retire, I think. Even if he retired, like,
well,
he has a jiu-jitsu gym.
Around it. Yeah, he's got guys in the UFC already.
Yeah. But I'm not mad at it. I'm not saying that he should fight next. His next fight would should be against, you know, a top-ranked guy or something like that. No. Just enjoy having him fighting, you know? He's not right now chasing for the belt or something like that. Just enjoy, and that's it. Enjoy the last couple of fights of his career.
Before we go on, who is somebody that you would like to see him fight?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm not saying that he should fight a ranked guy. Maybe an unranked new guy. Maybe he should welcome some fighters coming, you know, from other companies. I don't really have a name for him.
Okay. Let me throw this one out there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much sense it makes for this guy. And I don't really know much sense it makes for Joe. They've already fought each other.
Yeah.
It was a quick fight. Joe won. But what about him versus Diego?
Yeah, I'm not. I think that maybe right now both, you know, are in the same stage, are in the same level. Maybe their career, like, is almost over. They already did good things and bad things. I think they had tremendous fights, historic fights. Yeah, I'm not mad at it. I would
love
to see
one out there for you.
Yeah,
this one they've already fought. Joe's lost two of them. What about Jim Miller?
You think? Do you want to go to the trilogy? Maybe having a third fight.
I don't know. It really makes sense because Joe's lost two.
Yeah, but
I feel like, again, they're at the same point in their career, and it really doesn't hurt either one of them.
Yeah. Listen, Jim won his last fight, if I remember correctly. Joe won this one. Just make it. I don't see the problem.
Well, the biggest problem is I'm not a matchmaker, so I don't have the authority to make it. So that's probably number one.
Maybe that's less headache for you.
Maybe. Yeah. Now, Greg Hardy defeated Ben Solis, I guess, by unanimous decision. That
one
turned to a no contest because Greg Hardy decided to use an inhaler in between the second and third round.
Yeah.
He asked, like I already stated on the show earlier, he asked the guy from USADA if he could do it. The guy said yeah, and he used it.
Yeah. And listen, we need more details about this story because we can't say shit right now.
What else do you want to know, bro? He asked the USADA guy, the Massachusetts State Athletic Commission guy, and the guy said yes.
I want to know why the fuck didn't we know about it? Didn't we have like a public statement about him using the inhaler from him, from his team, or from USADA,
We've known
so
about
people
it.
know?
We've
No.
known.
You
Yes,
before the fight?
as a journalist, if you do your research, you will see he's had asthma his entire
I'm
professional
not
playing
saying
career.
that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying about using inhaler between rounds. Did you
Now,
know
if
that? Did you know
anyone
about it?
dropped the ball on that, I feel like it's the UFC and USADA.
Yeah, so they dropped the ball. I'm not good
USADA
blaming it.
knew about the inhaler. They
Yeah.
didn't know he was going to use it in between rounds. Of course, Greg never told them that. So it's also on Greg a little bit.
It's on everybody, I think.
You know what? It's a situation that we learned from. And that's all
Yeah.
I can go from here. One situation where I'm glad that it was all able to be resolved. A couple of weeks ago, Yair Rodriguez and Jeremy Stephens were to headline Mexico City card.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because of an eye poke, that ended about 90 seconds into the fight. Now, this last weekend, we were able to finally get the fight. Although it wasn't five rounds, it was three amazing rounds. Yair Rodriguez defeated Jeremy Stephens by unanimous decision, 29-28 across the board. That was your fight of the night. Probably one of the better fights I've seen in a very long time. Jeremy
Yeah.
Stephens said multiple times that this is a five-round fight, that this is, I have the advantage. If this is a three-round fight, Yair has the advantage. And he was absolutely right. Yair had the advantage the entire time. And it just seemed like Yair was, or not, sorry. It seemed like Jeremy was just waiting on him the first and second round. And it seemed like the third round, he finally started to turn it up.
Yeah, it's a bad game plan in a three-round fight. You need to start quick. You need to
Oh,
start
it's a
strong in the
bad
three
game
round.
plan in a fight, period.
No, listen. Sometimes in a five-round fight, sometimes it happens. You know, sometimes a good game plan. It depends. But in a three-round fight, like you can't take that risk. Because if you lose the two first rounds, like it's
Oh, you're
over.
fucked. Yeah, you're fucked. There's
Yeah.
no way you're getting those back. You gotta knock him out or submit him to win the
Yeah.
fight.
And you will start chasing that knockout, and it will not come naturally, and you won't be able to perform correctly. But listen, Yair Rodriguez, at some point, we almost lost him from the UFC, and how dumb Dana White and his team were.
Yeah, right.
What a tremendous fighter.
Imagine if
Those
he would have ended
kicks.
up in featherweight or in Bellator.
Yeah, listen, those kicks, he have maybe one of the greatest kicks in
And he's
the
very good
MMA.
at making you question your distance.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, am I too close to this motherfucker?
Oh, listen. For him, his kicks are they comes as easy as jabs, you know. And he I think that the fights were all. I think really the fight was over when he hit him like in the gut, and Jeremy Stephens fell down. I really thought it was over.
I love Yair Rodriguez. I need to see him fight Khabib Nurmagomedov.
I think it's maybe the most entertaining fight that the UFC can make at that division.
And it's got to be five rounds.
It's got to be 5 rounds, and the winner should
100%.
and the fight and the winner should fight against Brian Ortega, I think.
The winner of Brian Ortega Korean Zombie.
For sure, for sure.
Now that we're done playing matchmaker, in the main event, the light heavyweight division, Dominic Reyes, who was he the dominator that we've always known he could be? He defeated Chris Weidman by a beautiful KO, 1 minute and 43 seconds into the fight. Now I'm going to ask you this, Waleed. I talked about you off the air. Do you think Weidman is done or not?
He released a public statement when he said that he's not over. Yeah, okay, you're not over, but is he over at light heavyweight? That's another question because they are huge fighters. For a guy that lost a lot of fights by knockout, I don't think the smarter move will be to move up a weight class.
Listen, at this point, we're figuring out who's got more of a glass draw, him or Luke Rockhold.
That's crazy. At some point, they were the two best middleweight fighters in this world. The MMA world is crazy. I really think that it's a crazy sport. Like, Chris Weidman is the man that dethroned Anderson Silva. Look at him right now, losing knockouts after knockouts. But you know,
Jones said that all you guys, all you middleweight contenders, keep talking about me, and you can't even get past my contenders.
Yeah. Do you think that this win really like give Dominic Reyes the number one contender spot? Or
I fucking hope so, but I don't think it does. I think he's got to get one more fight.
Do you think that maybe because Johnny Walker have, you know, he made the biggest, more noise than Dominic Reyes, that's why maybe he will leapfrog him at this point? Because I think he leapfrog him. I think that Dominic Reyes should be maybe top ranked, maybe ranked above.
What does Johnny Walker do in November next week?
Oh yeah, listen, Corey Anderson. I think Corey Anderson is a bigger threat than Chris Weidman in this division.
100%. And if he knocks him out dangerously, like he's been doing to everybody else, like he did to Misha Cirkunov, like he did to OSP, I mean, we can keep going down the list. If he does it the same thing, it's hard to deny him a title shot.
Listen, those two, maybe right now, yeah, for sure, in this division, Dominic Reyes and Johnny Walker have the more chance to win against John Jones. No doubt about it.
Well, that's because they can match Jones physically.
Yeah.
They're big.
Oh, yeah.
They're long, and they're elusive. They are very unorthodox.
Yeah.
They're very hard to prepare for. I mean, to say Dominic Reyes is the most basic of the three is crazy, because Dominic Reyes is far from basic.
No, it's not about... I would not say that he's basic in a bad way.
No, but out of the three of them, I would say it's hard to
more
put
orthodox.
Anyone over Jones. Yeah, okay, more orthodox. It's hard to put anyone over Jones. Maybe. Johnny Walker is a very fucking close second. But Dominic Reyes is right up there with him. So that's what I'm saying. To say that out of the three of them, that Dominic Reyes is the least, whatever the fuck you want to call
it. but maybe that's the thing that the guy to beat John Jones needs to have, you know, to be, you know, I would say cold, like doesn't change the game plan, because people try crazy shit when they fight against John Jones.
The question is, do we get Dominic Reyes or Johnny Walker against him before he moves up to heavyweight?
I really hope so. I think that it's going to happen. I don't think John Jones wants to move up directly to the division, because I think he wants to fight Dominic Reyes and Johnny Walker, that's for sure. I really didn't think so.
Who gets a title shot first, Johnny Walker, Dominic Reyes? You got 60 seconds.
I would say Johnny Walker, because I think people knows him more, even though that doesn't make sense because Dominic Reyes is a great fighter. But I think Johnny Walker.
Who has the better shot at beating Jones?
At this point, at some point I would have said maybe Johnny Walker, but right now, I think it's a 50-50% chance for both of them, I think.
Excellent, my man. Anything else on UFC on ESPN6?
Oh, not really. I would say that we had some great fights. We had everything in this card, and I'm looking forward to the future of those fighters.
100%. We're gonna throw it to a quick interview with this weekend on this weekend's Jeff Hughes. He is taking on some fucking guy. God, who's the fucking look it up again? Because now I forgot homeboy's name. He's taking off Rafael Paseya. That is the very first fight. Stay tuned for that interview, guys. Waleed's gonna be back after that, so we can preview that UFC fight night 162. And as always, we're going to throw it to a quick station identification. And we'll be right back.
What's up, guys? Hubert Burns right here, and you're listening to the MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys, joining me back at this time is one of the UFC's top rising heavyweight prospects, Mr. Lights Out, Jeff Hughes. Jeff, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very good. You're in Singapore for this fight this weekend against Rafael Paseo. Tell me, how did this fight for with Rafael come about?
I don't know. After the last fight, about a week went by. I was kind of relaxing, doing my thing, and my coach just called me, said, "Get back in the gym. We're going to Singapore." And that's that's how fast it was. I mean, I don't know how it came about, but I was like, "Man, I want to get back in there because I wasn't hurt. Nothing was wrong. I want to get that W."
No, for sure. And we're gonna talk about your last fight for a second with Todd Duffy. Tell me everything that kind of went through your mind after the whole eye poke went through. Did you think that he was going to quit? I mean, did you think it was going to continue to go? What happened?
I thought he was trying to catch a breather until I saw the doctors come in, and then I thought he's looking for a way out. He, you know, maybe I can't call him a liar, but I don't believe I poked him, and you know, it was unfortunate that it happened the way it did.
Now, I tried to watch the replay back and back and back again and try to see what he was calling an eye poke. It kind of seemed like he more of like a grazed his eye, if anything. I definitely didn't see a dumb or anything jam into his eye. So, as you were saying, I kind of feel like he was looking for a way out also.
Yeah, I mean, I think he thought he was going to get in there and get out quick, and it didn't happen, so he was looking for a way out.
Yeah, you landed some very big shots on him towards the end of the fight. Obviously, you felt like it was making an effect on him.
Yeah. He came out strong like he always does, and he dropped me the one with I think it was a left hook. It was a good shot. I don't remember it, but nothing really didn't rattle me or anything like that. Once that happened and he didn't put me away, like he kind of – the momentum switched. And I was landing big shots, and every time I'd hit him, he was getting cut, and his face was swelling. I mean, I'd look like I just woke up. Like, nothing was really hurting me.
Now, is that something you would like to get back eventually if Todd does decide he wants to stay in the UFC?
You know, if it happens, it happens. I mean, I'd hate to go through another camp and something like that happen again. So, it's whoever they put me with, to be honest.
Now, you had just got married right before that fight. Were you able to get a honeymoon in afterwards? Because I know you kind of just got right back into camp for this one.
No. Our honeymoon was Vancouver because we got married the week before that fight. Well, so she came out to Vancouver, and then we were planning on something, maybe going out of town for a long weekend or something, and then this got brought up. So I promised her after this we'll go for a long weekend somewhere.
Do you have anything planned yet, or is everything still kind of up in the air?
No, see, she likes places like Vermont or Maine or something, but like I have no desire to go to those places, so like I want to go south with white sand and clear water.
No, so you're thinking like Jamaica, and she wants to go get a cabin.
Yeah, that's it exactly.
Now, Singapore, how is it treating you so far? You've been there for a couple of days. How you feel acclimated to everything so far, the time change?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad on me. I didn't sleep well on the plane because I'm a big guy, so every single time someone would walk by, they'd bump into me, wake me up. So I was so tired when I got here, so it wasn't too bad switching to their time. And the city's awesome. The people are so nice, and there's so much to do here. It's like a city from the future. It's cool.
What have you seen so far? I know that you're kind of enthralled in your fight week, but what have you been able to see of the city?
Like we just went to the giant hotel with the big pool up top of it. I can't remember the name of it right now.
I've seen the picture. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so we just went up there for a little bit. There's like it's right by our hotel that we're at, so there's like a really nice running path that you run on the water, and I just kind of explored everything so far, everything I can, like probably in a 5-mile radius.
How long are you staying there after the fight, or are you kind of just getting back home?
I'm going home right after the fight, as soon as the next day, that morning.
Now, the flight, how long was that? We talked a little bit off the air, but fans need to know what's going on.
So the flight was from Cleveland, was 5 hours to San Francisco. I had like literally a 20 to 30 minute layover. I was pretty much running to the next plane. Got on the plane. That was 16 and a half hours. And it was an hour of sitting on the plane before we even took off.
Oh, so just added an extra hour on there just to hang out.
Yeah. So really it was more like a 17 hour. I was on the plane for 17 and a half hours.
What did you do to kill your time?
Just watched movies and just suffered quietly. It was rough.
Was there any screaming babies or anything like that?
There was one, but they did really well. So, I mean, a couple of times, but I mean, you have your headphones on, so it wasn't too bad. Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't the worst experience in the world, but it definitely, you had to get up a couple of times and stretch your legs, even though you had, like, I'd go to the bathroom just to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I'm about to stretch out just thinking about that 17-hour flight real quick. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's the furthest place in the world for us to fly.
Yeah, damn. It's so clear across the world.
It's either Singapore or New Zealand. I'm not sure.
So, Rafael Paseo, what do you know about your opponent for Saturday?
He's a big guy. He's only fought once in the UFC, so there's not a whole lot of tape out on him.
Yeah, so it was a quick first round loss for him.
Which gained on the card as well. So they like heavyweights over here. Yeah, just a big guy. Has a pretty good right hand, but nothing like jumps out at me. So I feel like this is the perfect matchup for me. If I fight my fight the way I know I can, I don't think it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be a barn burner. I think I'm going to go in there and dominate.
Without giving away too much of the secret, what's the game plan?
Same as it always is. Manage the fight how we know how to, you know, use our jab. And if the takedown comes, the takedown comes. And if it doesn't, you know, use our distance and just execute that way.
Do you have an official prediction?
No, I don't predict fights anymore. I'm never right on them anyways.
Except like a handful of people. That's all I got. Whoever is really right.
Yeah. They're lucky if they are, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why he gets, like, Connor calls himself Mystic Mac.
Yeah, he's about the closest to being right all the time.
Him and Israel. Israel's been pretty close there, too.
Yeah, that dude's a freak. That guy's awesome. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, no. Have you guys brought anybody in special for Rafael to train?
No. The guys that we train with at the gym are they're some of the best in the world. I mean, toughest gym in Ohio by far.
One of the best gyms in the nation, easily. Strong Style MMA.
Yeah, I would put it up pound for pound. I'd put it up against a lot of these gyms. I mean, some of these gyms have 25 fighters in the UFC, but you know, we're all homegrown. Like, you know, nobody's coming into Cleveland to train. Like, we're all homegrown guys. So, you know, sometimes Stipe will bring a guy in or whatever, but like, for the most part, it's just us. And that's kind of the way we like it.
Yeah. Keep everyone tight knit family. It's really a big family over there instead of a team.
There's no drama, which is probably that works best for us.
Yeah, I mean, you hear other camps like American Top Team right now. They've got a lot of drama going on.
Yeah, one guy, but...
That's all it takes sometimes, just one cancer in the room.
Yep.
So what have you been doing on your downtime to kind of get away from the fight game? I mean, I know you went back-to-back camps. You've had the wedding. What have you done to do to just digest?
Just spending time with family, really. My daughter... She's six now. She's a handful. She's fun to be around. Hanging out with friends more than usual. You know, when I'm done with a fight, I usually like to hang out with my buddies for a while and, You know, I don't get the – I've missed out on so many parties and going out and all that, you know, because it always seems like when something fun's about to happen, there's a fight coming up. So I've stayed really disciplined with that my whole adult life since I've been fighting. So after a fight, I like to go, you know, go crazy a little bit, but you never know when they're going to call again, so you can't go too wild.
And that's the name of the game. You almost kind of always got to stay ready because you don't know when those opportunities are going to call.
Right.
Now, could we possibly see you in the Octagon again in 2019 if everything goes according to plan?
Depending on how this one goes, no, you know, who knows? I'm up for it if everything goes well and it's a quick fight. That's what we're planning on, and the money's right, the location's right. It doesn't matter. Like, let's, you know.
Listen, if the money's right, my coaches I'll put think on it's okay.
I'm sorry.
I said if the money's right, I'll put on gloves.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, so you know, never say never.
What can you see out of your career the next 2 years?
I'm just trying to crack that top 15 right now. I got to get a win. Starts this Saturday. You know, I've had a kind of a wild start to my UFC career, you know. A loss that could have went either way, and then the eye poke. So hopefully in the top 15, top 10 in the next couple years.
Are there any specific fighters or matchups that you find intriguing that you would like to see along the way?
No, I mean, there's so many good – I mean, this is probably the best the heavyweight division's ever been. So, you know, I've always said it, like, a dream match. It's not, no animosity or anything like that, but, like, I would love to fight Andre Arlovsky just because I grew up watching him. I could say I fought one of my heroes, you know, one of the guys I grew up was trying to be, like, when I first started in the sport, 17, 18 years old. So that would be cool, but nobody, like, I have animosity towards and want to fight.
No, for sure. What video games have you been getting into lately?
And pretty much I downloaded a bunch of games that were like on sale before I came over here, like the Batman series, the Arkham series. I started playing that a little bit again. I mean, I've already beat all those games probably three times, but I got into that, and like the show was free this month, so I haven't really spent. I'm waiting for Call of Duty to come out because this one looks pretty good.
And they're bringing back a story mode too. I'm super excited about that. I was really bummed that they didn't have that in the last one.
Yeah, I haven't liked the last few since World War II. So this one, I played the alpha and the beta, and I really enjoyed it. So, me and my buddies are gonna get in. That's like we're all like married and have kids and stuff now. So, like, that's our going out is, like, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. We're playing video games for a few hours before, you know, after our wives go to bed and stuff and the kids go to bed. So it's pretty nice.
It's funny. I was just talking to my friend about kind of the same thing. How, like, you know, we got older and we don't go to the bar anymore. We just kind of play video games at home.
Yeah. Yeah. And I honestly have more fun doing that anyways.
No, me too. I mean, especially with, like, nowadays, you don't even got to be in the same room. You don't even got to be in the same state.
Right.
Hell,
right.
You really got to be in the same continent. It's a great.
No, honestly, we were going to play Apex earlier, and then it just didn't happen. I had something to do, but yeah, so it's kind of cool. I mean, it's amazing. You can play with your friends, and I'm on the opposite side of the planet.
No, for sure. It's awesome. The only thing that I don't like about PlayStation, though, is I'm going to have to buy two copies of Modern Warfare, one for myself and one for my son, where Xbox has a thing where you can game share.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I found that out a couple weeks ago. My son-in-law was telling me about it, and I was like, wait a second. You just got to send it to your friend? He was like, yeah, I buy it, and then I just send it to my friend. I was like, shut the fuck up.
Do they have like a – is it like an expiration date or something?
I think you can only send it once. And I don't really think there's an expiration date. Like, they have the full game.
Oh, and it's that way forever.
And it's just on there. Yeah. Like, they don't have to hook up to the internet. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, one person buy it and then just share it and then just keep going back and forth.
Yeah, split it $30 or whatever.
Exactly. Or 1 year you buy it and I'll buy it the next year.
Yeah. Man, that I don't know. I've always thought that Microsoft has always been a little bit user friendly, anyways.
Oh, yeah. From the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, PlayStation is a little bit more greedy, but it's all good.
Well, that's why, like, when the PlayStation Classics got down to $19.99, like, I grabbed a couple of them just because I know I can mod them. So might as well mod them and throw a bunch of stuff on there.
I still haven't done that yet.
You need to send me a list, and I will mod it. I'll put it on a scan drive, and I'll send it to Strong Style, and we'll get it right to you.
All right, I'm going to do that on my flight. How about that?
There you go. Look, yeah, you got 17 hours to just figure out PlayStation 1 games.
Yep, we'll do.
Excellent, man. Well, I don't want to keep you much longer because I know how busy you guys are right now during fight week. But before I let you go, I want to give you an opportunity to give a shout out to your sponsors, loved ones, anyone that's really helped you along your MMA journey.
This fight, I'm pretty much just dedicating it to my fans and my family, and especially my coaches right now. I mean, these dudes just got out here today, you know, Steve Cody and Jake, and they got to turn back around on Sunday. So, it's crazy. So, yeah, I want to thank them mostly.
Yeah, man, the life of an MMA coach. I was in Vegas a couple weeks ago covering the PFL fights. And I was talking to Mike Brown, and then the very next night I was watching Mike Brown in Tampa cover Joanna. I mean, MMA coaches just go run ragged. People say this is an individual sport, but it's really not. There's really a big team behind people that go inside the cage.
Right, right. And I fought twice in the last 2 months, really, and I've seen all the same coaches that were in Vancouver. Most of them are all here too. So I'm like, these guys are running every weekend.
Yeah. It's crazy. Different promotions, different fighters, different venues, just running rampant. Where can the fans find you on social media?
Jeff Hughes MMA. That's my Twitter and Instagram. I don't do much on Twitter. I'm way more active on Instagram. So come check it out there and give me a like or subscribe to me, whatever they call it, and hopefully I post something that you enjoy.
Do you know where you and Rafael are going to be on the card?
Very first.
There we go. On ESPN Plus, or is it on Fight Pass?
ESPN Plus.
There we go. ESPN Plus, Rafael Paseo. Jeff, lights out, Hughes. Thank you very much for coming on the show, brother. We can't wait to have you on and watch you perform this Saturday night.
Thank you for having me, and I will let you know about those PlayStation games.
Excellent, my man. Have a good day, man.
See ya.
Later.
See ya.
Hey, it's Black Eagle Rencounter, and you're listening to me on MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys, welcome back. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that interview with Jeff Hughes. Now we are going to preview UFC Fight Night 162. That is UFC on ESPN Plus 20 for you guys keeping track at home. That is coming live from the Singapore Indoor Stadium in Kallang, Singapore. And that is scheduled to be headlined by a welterweight bout, including Damian Maia versus Ben Askren, what we have dubbed the striking matchup we never knew we needed. Now, we're kind of going to fly right through this because most of these people we don't know. I also want to point out real quick that this card, if you are in America, starts at like 3 o'clock in the morning. So just wake up and watch it. Don't try to stay up, you crazy animals. To start the card off, though, we have Rafael Paseo Nunez. He is taking on Jeff Hughes. Jeff Hughes, we just had on the show. Talk to us about everything that he had going on this whole training camp. Super excited to have him back on the show. I stay back on the show. A lot of you guys might not realize this, but we have a lost episode. I believe it was like episode 30-something. Do you remember that, Waleed? Jeff Hughes was on that episode.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he did not make that, but he made it this time.
And I really think that this is a good fight for him. And I love when fight cards start with a heavyweight division because you know that maybe it will end quickly in the first round, I would say.
Yes, and Jeff Hughes is also very, very elusive for being a heavyweight. You know, I just want to point that out. He fights over there a strong style with Stipe Miocic. Those guys are killers. In the women's strawweight division, Loma Lukbunmi, I probably messed it up, sorry about that, is taking on Alexandre Albu in the women's strawweight division. Luma is a kickboxer by trade, has a huge kickboxing background. Albu, I don't know a whole lot about her, but we will find out more this weekend on ESPN+. In the heavyweight division, Sergey Pavlovich is taking on Maurice Greene. Now, Jeff Hughes and Maurice Greene have had two great battles between each other, so maybe we could see a trilogy between those guys if they're both, you know, victorious. Sergey Pavlovich, I don't know a whole lot about him. Do you know much about him, Waleed?
Not really. I know more about Maurice Greene, but Sergey, I know.
Box, yeah, man. How do you not know about Maurice Greene? Gotta love that guy.
He has some crazy facial hair, I would say.
100%. And he's got one eye that looks the other way. But I wouldn't take that against him because he'll still kill us.
Yeah, for sure he will kill us. he looks like a straight-up gangster. But, for sure. You know,
Did you watch him in The Ultimate Fighter? Like, that dude was drunk every night. He was, like, smoking cigarettes in the back. Like, zero fucks given.
I love it, man. That's how it should be. And, you know, he's a great fighter. I really like to see him fight. And I think maybe the trilogy maybe shouldn't happen like directly after those two fights. Maybe give them time to really build each other, maybe.
For sure, when they start contending for a title here in a little bit. In the featherweight division, Enrique Barzola is taking on Mavzar Ivolev. I don't know a whole lot about these two gentlemen. Enrique Barzola, I feel like I've heard that name before. Let me look him up. Give me a second so that I don't sound crazy. Yeah, he's been in the UFC for a while.
So
he came from Latin America. What card have I seen? Oh, 220, 211, when Dallas, Gabriel Benitez, I remember that one. Oh, now it's coming back to me. Bosniak. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Who's he taking on? Mavzar Ivolev.
Mavzar Ivolev, yeah.
Yo, I just want to point out, too, that they put the craziest people on these cards, and I hate trying to pronounce their names. In the lightweight division, thankfully, we have Alex White taking on Rafael
Fiziev.
Now, Alex White is a UFC veteran. He's been in the UFC for a while now. I believe he's got almost just as many losses as he does wins. He's got 5 losses in the UFC, 5 wins. So he's trying to break 500 with this fight, and I think he's got a good opportunity to do it. In the women's strawweight division, Ronda Marcos taking on Ashley Yoder. I think this is one of the only matchups in the prelims where I know both fighters.
Yeah, I really think maybe we know some maybe one side in the other fights, but this one, yeah, we know both fighters, and I think it's a good fight. I really enjoy watching Ronda Marcos fight.
I like Ashley Yoder. I think she's got very good striking, and I think she's not scared to take it to the ground. I mean, she proved that against Mackenzie Dern and other people.
Yeah, I agree with you. So this is a good fight. This is the main event?
It's the main event of the prelims, yes, women's strawweight division. Yeah. I like Ronda Marcos' red hair. Can't hate it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I agree with you.
Now, to start off the main card in the welterweight division, Muslim Salikov, and we only know that name because he's good, all right, versus Laureano Staropoli,
yo, whatever.
Now listen.
Yeah, whatever.
Fucking Muslim Salikov is a beast.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, let's just look at his record for a second. His kickboxing record, he's got 185 wins, 13 losses, and 1 draw. His MMA record is 15-2. He's been submitted twice, but no one really wants to stand with him. He's got 12 knockouts. I mean, just a beast, man.
Yeah, he destroyed Nordin Salih in his last fight. I remember it. He destroyed him.
Oh, yeah. And then, honestly, I thought Salih was going to get the better of him that night. And then they went into Abu Dhabi, and it was a completely different story. Just a killer, man.
The leg kicks. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Leg kicks, man. Gnarly. Now, here we are, another heavyweight division. And I just want to point out, too, the heavyweights on this card are still young heavyweights, because if you think about the heavyweights, they're about like the 40-year-olds who are really running this division at this point in time. But these are some young guys right here. Cyril Gane is taking on Dontale Mays. Cyril Gane trains with Francis Ngannou. So
yeah,
you know he's just training with killers over there in France, over there with Wally Wall. Now, what do you know about Cyril Gane? Anything? You should. He's, you know, from your area and shit.
Yeah, that doesn't mean because he's French that I'm supposed to know him personally. But yeah,
you're supposed to be best friends with him.
I think that his MMA record speaks for himself. Like, he has 4 fights, 4 wins, undefeated right now. He's young. He's 29 for a heavyweight. He's still young.
And he had a very quick debut, and he looked very good in it.
Yeah. He's fighting against a guy who's 27 and young too for the heavyweight division. I think the heavyweight division really needs fresh blood, and you know, I'm a big fan of those kind of fights because yeah, the heavyweight division needs fresh blood, and this is what the UFC should do.
100%. Now in the lightweight division, Frank Camacho is taking on Beneil Dardoush. Beneil Dardoush has had ups and downs in the UFC, and I feel like we're just kind of waiting for him to plateau. And I don't really know if we're ever going to get that. Frank Camacho has also kind of done the same thing, but he's still very young in his UFC career. Although he's had 29 fights, he's only had, 6 in the UFC? He's only fought once this year. So yeah. I'm really excited to see what he could do. He's won Fight of the Night 3 times. So, I mean, Frank Camacho is just an exciting guy to watch. Pretty much all those guys from those islands over there in Guam and, you know, Hawaii and all that, they're all just amazing fighters.
Yeah, they are a real warrior, I would say. And this is not an easy fight for him because Beneil Dariush is, a well-established fighter. And I think that, this will be a tough fight for Camacho.
No, for sure. I'm excited to see this, though. I want to see what Camacho is going to bring to the table. I really feel like after this fight, though, I want to see a step up in competition. If he's able to get a victory, maybe somebody in that 15 through 20.
Yeah, maybe. The division is really stacked.
Of course. It's the lightweights. Lightweights are so stacked, you can go into other organizations, and their lightweights are stacked.
Yeah. It's worldwide like that.
Yeah, for sure. Another great lightweight matchup. Michael Johnson, who I saw at the PFL last weekend, I just want to point that out, was fighting Stevie Ray in the lightweight division for the co-main event. Listen, when you got Michael Johnson and Stevie Ray in the co-main event, don't wake me up until it's over, all right?
Yeah. You can take your time and wake up like at 6 a.m. maybe and watch just the main event, I would say.
Yeah, like
I'm
not staying up until 3 a.m. to watch this shit live. I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe that's how big the main event is. That's how big Ben Askren is. Because people will wake up and watch. You're saying that, but you will wake up and you will watch just to be sure not to miss the main event.
Now, you know, Michael Johnson versus Damian Maia is a great fight. I mean, but like I've been saying, I really don't feel like we're going to see much of them grappling. I really feel like we're going to see a really poor striking matchup.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe we'll have crazy things in the ground, maybe, but it won't last long, maybe. You know? But we will see. Ben Askren, if the fight goes to the ground, Ben Askren should get on that position when he has Damian Maia against the cage. So Damian Maia can't move, you know? Ben Askren should try to hold Damian Maia down, but not try to, you know, to change position or stuff like that, because Damian Maia is too dangerous, and you don't want to play chess game with Damian Maia in the ground because you will get fucked.
Who wins Damian Maia Ben Askren?
I don't know. I think that over the years, maybe the wrestlers won more against the jiu-jitsu guys, I would say. So I would go maybe with Ben Askren, but I'm such a huge Damian Maia fan that, you know what, I would go with Damian Maia. I think that maybe Ben Askren shoots for a takedown. Not really good. Damian Maia really, you know, caught him maybe in a guillotine choke or something like that.
Now, if Ben Askren loses, that'll be three in a row. Do you think he sticks around in the UFC, or do you think he's, you know, takes his swan song and sails off? Because he was already previously retired before he came to the UFC.
Yeah, but I don't know. I said that maybe Damian Maia is going to win, but in the back of my head, I think that Ben Askren is going to win. It's just because I'm a Damian Maia fan. But no, not really. I think a loss against Damian Maia doesn't mean really that your career should be over. It all depends on how the fight goes, I would say.
Now, I honestly think that Ben Askren's going to win this. I think he's going to use his wrestling and just control Damian Maia. We've realized before in the past that's been a very successful thing against Damian Maia. If you look at the greatest welterweight champion of all time, Kamaru Usman, he was able to do the same thing and dominate Damian Maia. One of the worst welterweight interim champions of all time, Colby Covington, did the same exact thing. And I just want to point out those two are fighting December 14th, and Colby's going to lose. Yeah. So before we get into that.
But listen, both of them are such better striker than Ben Askren.
Yes, but it both wasn't the striking that really neutralized Maia. It was their wrestling and their pressure. The thing is can Askren really keep the pressure that those two, because those two keep a high-paced pressure. Even Colby Covington, all shit-talking aside, Colby Covington has a great pressure that he keeps on people. Meanwhile, Ed have talked about this on and off the air plenty of times. Colby Covington and Kamaru Usman do the same things very, very well.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's why this is going to be maybe the fight of the year, I would say.
Yes. Now, I think Askren wins. I think from here, Askren needs to get one more win, and then maybe we'll talk about another title shot. But I think Askren needs to definitely get this win. And I think we need to see a real fight from Askren, because we've seen one fight where it was a controversial ending, one fight that was done in a second, and now here we are in his third fight against Damian Maia. I want to see a real fucking fight.
I think we will get a real fight. I really think so.
Anything else for UFC on ESPN Plus 6, or sorry, ESPN Plus 20?
I think that CM Punk should do the breakdown of the striking of Ben Askren against Damian Maia. I'm just saying that.
That would be amazing. Now, I don't really have anything else. We're going to do a quick station identification, and we'll put it out to an outro, guys, and we'll be back with some more MMA Wreckage Radio.
Yo, yo, this is Desmond the Predator Green. You listening to MMA Wreckage Radio.
All right, guys, welcome back to the outro of this episode. We appreciate you guys coming and hanging out with us today. We'd like to thank Jeff Hughes for taking time out of his week. He had to take that thing very early in the morning, where I took the interview very late at night, just so we could match up with the Singapore and Las Vegas time zone. Episode 46 went off without a hitch. Wally Wall, thank you, as always, for coming and doing this for me. Wally Wall is currently at the airport picking up his folks, so... he's doing one for the team right now. Waleed. Yeah.
From a guy that name is Folks, I'm coming. I'm picking my folks, you know?
Yeah. Wally Wall, let me ask you a question real quick, man.
Yeah.
This whole situation with Nate and Masvidal, do you think that we find a solution before the fights, or do you think that the fight is off?
So, listen, the last thing I saw was Ariel Helwani saying that maybe the fight is still on. Like, Nate Diaz just talked too quick, because USADA are still trying to figure out if it was clean or not, yes. You know? So, right now, like, we don't know. It's a big question mark. But we know that for a fact that if Nate Diaz is out, Leon Edwards won't step up, so... I'm not sure what are the options for the UFC right now.
Well, I know an option, and you and I talked a little bit about this option. Vicente Luque is going to be taking on Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. So why not move Vicente Luque up to that spot. If the UFC needs history, I have three interviews with Vicente Luque leading back to the beginning of this year where he's been calling out Jorge Masvidal before Jorge did anything that he's been doing, before he knocked out Till, before he knocked out Askren. Vicente Luque has been calling for him. They train down the street from each other. They've never fought before. This is Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington without all the drama.
Yeah. Listen, no doubt Vicente Luque deserves to fight, deserve the big fight, because and sooner or later it's coming for him. But is he on weight? Is he prepared to fight?
100% of
our. Remember, it's a completely different fight from Wonderboy. It's a very different fight.
Wonderboy,
from Wonderboy.
Counter striker. Vicente is. Masvidal is not a counter striker. Masvidal is a brawler.
Yeah. And a guy like like Wonderboy or Damian Maia, those specialists, I would say, but, you know that the training camp is going to be special. It's not in a normal training camp. So I don't know if he can do that. I know he's a savage. I know he can do it. I know if they give him the opportunity, like, he will do it. But is he ready? Like, just wait. I'm not talking about skills because whatever, he's ready. But it's about wait.
Let me point out one. He fights on that card. He fights on that card at 170. So he's got to be on weight. It's the same weight class.
Yeah.
So we'll take that.
Yeah, okay. So and that's a good. So that's a good.
The lack of
preparation. Sorry, I totally forgot that he's fighting that
card. Yeah, he's fighting Wonderboy on the same card. The lack of preparation.
Okay.
You have to understand that Vicente's last one, besides Mike Perry, his last two opponents have been last-minute switches. So he's used to this last-minute switch, and he's looked very good in both fights.
Oh, listen, he's ready. The question is not about is he ready or can he fight against Masvidal.
Will the UFC let him fight? That's the thing, because I honestly think that Vicente Luque could go in there and fuck off Masvidal and take all that hype.
Oh, listen, it's an even fight. You know that Masvidal can win, like Vicente can win. Like, I would say it's a 50-50. Like, I don't know who's going to... I don't really know who had the advantage in that fight. But, you know, it's a great fight. I would love to see it in maybe in different circumstances, maybe.
Yeah, most like I would like to see them two be able to train for each other, have a full 8-12-week training cramp for each other, and then see what we could happen maybe with a title around one of their waists. I don't know.
Yes, and give the time to Vicente Luque to promote the fight, you know, and come on our show and talk to us and promote, you know, we need Vicente Luque to come talk about this fight, about this huge fight before.
Well, for sure. Well, we're going to have Vicente on next week, and we'll to ask him all these questions about everything that's going on. We can even work it out, we'll pull you in.
It's a mess right now. I think Nate Diaz really, fucked up, not by, you know, getting tested for something, by saying that he got tested because the UFC.
Yes.
Yeah, by talking. He shouldn't talk. Like, if he kept it a secret, nobody would know about it. Maybe he would fight without us knowing about this whole drama.
Well, he didn't want it to come out after the fact, and that was his thing. He didn't want it to come out after the fact that he tested for something, so fuck it, he's going to tell us now.
Oh, listen, like, if there's a guy that nobody, the MMA fan base, like, will not doubt about, you know, being clean, is the Diaz brothers. There's no question 100%. About that, so I'm not... That maybe, you know, his legacy or, you know, his style, like, were in danger by getting, you know, there's for sure there's something, there's a reason for this to be positive, his test to be positive. For sure there's a reason, and we will see what's the reason. But who knows? Like Connor said, Jake Shield got tested positive, Gilbert Melendez got tested positive. So who knows, you know, it's a big, who knows?
That is true, although the Scat Pack hasn't really been together like that for a very long time, so I really couldn't put those two and two together. It'll be an interesting situation. We'll see how the week unfolds. We'll be back next week for episode 47. We'll have Vicente Luque on. We'll ask him all these questions. We'll talk to him about his thoughts about possibly stepping up and taking the challenge if it's presented to him. I know he's going to say yes if it is. But yeah, super excited about what's going to be going on in the future. Super excited to see what's going on for UFC 244. Super excited for the future of this podcast. Now, we are going to be switching the name. We have talked about this for the past couple of weeks. The name is going to be switched, but we're going to keep it going. So it'll be, you know, whatever our new name is, episode 50 or whatever. I'm just throwing that one out there. I'm not entirely too sure when we're going to switch it, but you'll see it all and it'll all be switched. Trust me.
One day we will give a reason about why we switched the name. One day. Yeah, not right now, but one day we will do it.
One day we'll get into that. It's a completely fucked situation. But we'll get down to the bottom of it. Trust me, the sky is greener on the other side. We are just waiting to get there. We're taking our time. Let me put it to you this way. We have another website already lined up, and we're just waiting for everything to click.
Yeah. And, you know, we are ready for whatever is coming for us, you know? Because, it is what it is. We'll still walk forward and do our best.
Listen, we are two indigenous people from our country, and we're going to do whatever it takes to make this shit survive.
We will. We will, brother.
Hell yeah. All right, my man. I'm going to let you get your parents. I'm going to get the fuck out of here. Thank you guys for joining us this week. We will see you guys next week. Vicente Luque will be on. Most likely Chance Rencounter will also be on. I'm going to talk to a couple other people, see what we can get. Super excited to see this fight next week. Super excited for Askren versus Maya. The greatest striking matchup we never knew we needed.
That's what we're going to do. Yeah. This shit, you know, yeah. Yeah. It's the greatest striking fight in the history of the UFC.
Exactly. We just didn't know we needed it. All right.
Yeah, we didn't.
See you guys next week. Stay clean, knuckleheads.
Peace.